主席，跟住其實有幾張 slide 咧，就係講我哋個 approach， 即係點樣做個 outline concept plan。咁或者唔好意思，容許我講英文，因為好似今日條例好似唔係咁講中文唔係咁好啊，正話唔好意思。We haven't really actually have the outline concept plans yet, but we would like to share with you how we approach the problem. We will analyze all the public views and aspirations gathered from stage one public participation. Although Paul just mentioned that it may not be a fair conclusion, but it is not just from one event. In fact, we have all the comments received, starting from November 2004. We will analyze all those, and then, in fact, many of the development visions and planning principles are very much in common. When they come out, they are quite obvious visions and principles that we should follow. Besides those gathered from the public participation programs, we actually will also look at Town Planning Board's vision statement for Victoria Harbour, HEC's harbour planning principles, and also Hong Kong PSG's urban design guidelines. There are specific areas which we will also, in our outline concept plan preparation, look in detail, such as the following: whether we do require reclamation to resolve certain problems or to make the proposals better in terms of compatibility with the comments received. These areas consist of Kai Tak Pro Channel, Central Kowloon Route and T2, Cruise Terminal, bridge connections and road linkages, because some of these bridge connections could be new connections and they may need piling. Are they actually reclamation defined under the ordinance? Also public promenades for To Kwa Wan, Kun Tong and Cha Kwa Lang. Many of these waterfront areas are occupied by other uses, and if we do want to use them for promenade immediately, then there may be a reclamation required. In terms of presentation and analysis of the three of the OCPs, we think that the objective of the OCPs are basically used as a tool to explore different land use emphasis. We are not saying that choose one out of the three. Never. We are not talking about those. We present them maybe in a more exaggerated form to really try to expose the merits of certain concepts or the demerits of other concepts. And also we'll emphasize on different urban design themes, test the broad technical feasibility involved, and facilitate more focused public comments in the next stage. Each OCP will compose of a distinct land use emphasis, development intensity, and layout design. I would like to emphasize here that because from the past half year, in fact, we have gathered mainstream comments which are very much in common. We cannot really distinguish by land use components, but we can distinguish by emphasis, such as the extent, the scope of certain land use, and also the disposition of the land uses. So we'll try to emphasize those those aspects. These are suggestions, in terms of broad options. We can actually have some detail or sub-options under these options. Option one, business and living park. This is to create an elegant business and living district in a park-like environment, which is very much called for in the public forums. People do want to have a living environment in the park. Option two, recreational harbourfront. This is to promote Kai Tak as a sports and recreation hub. And we emphasize here to integrate it with the harbourfront. Option three, tourism timeline. We would like this option to promote Kai Tak as a tourism and entertainment hub with particular emphasis on our collective memory of the Kai Tak runway. So we'll probably put more design emphasis on the runway. Out of all these options, we take definitely Paul's point, for all these major components, we will investigate the various transportation infrastructure, environment, marine, and social economic implications, although not in great detail, but we will cover all these aspects. And also, we will conduct a preliminary sustainability assessment of the OCPs. So this will have the findings together with the concept plans before we go out to the public to consult. In terms of time, we are in the process. We hope that we will finish TR2, which is the outline concept plans, next month, May to June. We circulate it. Once sort of finalized in terms of format, then we will go out to the public July to September. It is slightly longer here because we are afraid that because of the summer, we may need slightly more flexibility. That will be the public participation stage two. We consolidate, hopefully, within those 3 months, we can consolidate a preferred option based on the analysis and the preliminary assessments of the OCPs and all the comments received from stage two public participation. This will be towards the end of the year. And then we will start preparing the preliminary outline development plan. And under that outline development plan, we will again have a sustainability assessment, but that will be in greater detail.
Thank you. Can you mention a bit about the link between this and the stage one CARTEC forum? You just mentioned that those will provide input into that, but how exactly will the input be utilized?
The visions and the themes and the major land use components, in fact, we'll take them all on board. In fact, because they are not in conflict with those comments that we have received since November. So I think that's why we feel more comfortable, you know, to take on board all of those in the forum.
Okay. I'd like to ask one more question from the chair before asking member for views. Which is, you mentioned three options. Now, in our previous meeting, we've been quite emphatic about starting with a no reclamation option. Now, is the no reclamation scenario one of these three, or are you going to provide a no reclamation case for all of the options that you develop?
In fact, Chairman, our basis is no reclamation in all options. But say, for example, in the tourism timeline option, it may actually be the biggest cruise terminal option there. And we do have to consider the traffic problem. So maybe in that particular option, we have to really think of a bridge going back to the Kuntong area, you know, to disperse people or traffic. And that may involve some reclamation because of the piling. We are still asking Department of Justice on the interpretation of the ordinance, whether new piles would be defined as reclamation. And also T2 and the CKR, we are definitely looking at submerged tunnel. But because of the different technical requirements, the gradient and things like that, we may in some options involve the tunnel slightly above the seabed. But is that considered as reclamation? We are also seeking the confirmation from the Department of Justice.
Yes, thank you.
But it is that sort of sense, but not in terms of big chunks of soil in the sea.
Okay. Comments, Paul?
Chairman, just to, if I may just rush through it, because I have to go and break all the speed limits, I believe. Just a few comments, maybe possibly a little bit erratic, but it's because I'm in a rush. I'm looking at the techno report and the items that we list as to be taken into account, and I wonder whether this list is complete. I'm just trying to figure out, do we have in here the territorial requirements for housing, or the territorial requirements for offices, or I kind of missed that. What I also miss is specifically the member input by ATC members since last year, or, you know, where it's the citizen envisioning report or the designing Hong Kong Harbour District report, or so I miss elements here that I think are quite crucial that should be taken into account as core documents, as a background. Mm-hmm. Especially those that demonstrate, you know, the distribution of the various land uses around the harbour. So territory requirements are where do we put them. So that's on that slide. Then I look at the approach for preparing technical report number 2, and I wonder whether reclamation is the only aspect that we should look into. We have in the harbour planning principles, for example, not just the reclamation issue, but the... I'm not sure whether it's my phone, probably is. But we also have the incompatible land use, i.e. there is a planning principle that says minimize incompatible land uses. Mm-hmm. So when we do these studies, I think reclamation is, that's one aspect, whether it's a reclamation impact. But the other aspect of all these development proposals is whether they create new incompatible land uses. So, and there might be others. So I'm just rushing through here. I'm just highlighting something that I identify, and when we think about it, there may be others that we should consider in evaluation, in a technical evaluation of each of these proposals. Definitely agree that it should be a no reclamation option that we have to consider. But then again, we have discussed this many times now. There is the reclamation for the formation of land. There is the reclamation for the formation of incompatible land uses like roads, which everybody just don't like to have in front of their windows, however form they are. And there is the reclamation for harbourfront enhancements, which are three entirely different forms of reclamation. And as the Harbourfront Enhancement Committee, we've brought this issue many times. So I think the consultants should take that into account and look at those three different types of reclamations going forward, because they will have different impact. Then what I miss on the development proposals list is just one that I immediately pick, is I miss all the land-water interfaces. Piers or marinas or breakwaters or anything required to fulfill these requirements of a recreational harbourfront and so on. If you want to make use of that water, you may have to move your breakwaters to create a bigger marina space, or create more space to cater for all the marine users, both the commercial users and the recreational users. If you want to combine sailing and cater for dredgers, tugboats, and other beautiful pieces of harbour equipment which kids would love to look at, and we don't want to see pushed out of the harbour, as the commercial users don't want to be pushed out, we may have to move the breakwaters. Now, those are land-water interfaces. I missed them on this list. So, again, I think that there is a hole in this plan. And so what I suggest is, on then looking at the process, is rather than, and up to the discussion between the expert of how to do it, rather earlier than later, my 1.75, is rather than going, do the OCPs and then go to the public, is whether either now, earlier or later, there is a meeting, which I've seen in the proposal from Citizen Envisioning and Harbour, on, for example, the look at how you look at overriding public needs test, that you start looking at with the professionals first, before you take the next step. So rather than have the consultants prepare these things, go straight into the public. Why don't you sit down with step one with the professionals first? And whether you do that with the OCPs in hand, or whether you do that already with your technical reports in hand and all the other things in hand, your studies in hand and the materials, and then sit with a smaller group before you make your visual OCPs, and then you go out to the public. But I would say do it earlier than later, I think, it would be my recommendation, rather than wait for all the professionals to fall over your OCPs and complain that you have not taken into account obvious things that, like land-water interfaces, which have been missed.
Thank I think that that's a very good suggestion. Can I try to summarize? Many of the Paul's suggestions on those contents can be taken on board. But on the process, now the consultant and planning department will be completing the report of stage one. which will include the Caltech Forum, I suppose. Right? And then you prepare this technical report number two, which is the basis for the OCP. But you don't just finish the stage one report and then just sit down in a room and produce technical report number two. Right? So there's a gap in moving between the report of stage one to the production of technical report number two. But instead of having another event, another forum, I think we don't have a very clear objective to go to the public at this stage. Instead of having another forum, we do have collaborators in our stage one activities in the Caltech Forum. So one way to fill this gap would be for us to go to the collaborator organizations with the stage one report. Now, it may well be that the planning department produced the perfect stage one report. And if the collaborators have no comment, then that is fine. Just go ahead and drop your technical report number two. But if the collaborators have views and comments on the stage one report, then this could become a further input into your preparation for technical report number two. And if the collaborative organizations, whether it's Hong Kong IA or the, was CUPEN one of them?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Wants to organize small workshops or seminars, then the government will try to facilitate. Right. But we do this in a decentralized way to try to seek the help of collaborators rather than HEC itself doing another big event. So is that agreeable? It doesn't mean that the collaborators have to do something, right? But we do undertake to produce the stage one report as a report, not as a consultation document, as a report, and then distribute it. Right. Of course, we distribute it to everybody, but we'll ask the collaborators specifically to respond if they have any additional views. Okay.
Well, Chairman, I think the stage one report is primarily all the public views. There are sort of public comments from the community. That's mm-hmm. one thing. So after all, if the discussion with the collaborators, it will be mainly a discussion of public views and public mm-hmm. views. Okay, there's one component. Mm-hmm. I think, but if we want to move a bit forward, it would also help if we could have preliminary concepts mm-hmm. of how the developments of Caltech could be done, the constraints, you know, the water pollution problems and all this.
Yeah.
I think it would be the collaborators, most of the professional groups,
right.
can also offer comments to the consultants as actually how they tackle, as Paul suggests, the gaps and the interface and
yeah.
how they tackle the actual technical land use interface, engineering, reclamation, all these mm. technical issues. Actually, that could actually help the consultants
right.
to consolidate yeah. the concept plans before the committee consider it, and also before the consultant put it to the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so between the Caltech Forum and the OCP engagement exercise, this process will be the mainly a process of engaging with the collaborating organizations, right? Because otherwise the professionals could have get themselves into a room and then work on a few OCPs. Mikan? Oh. Yes?
Chairman, I would describe it as a process of internal review.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what we do for the next few weeks and months. But I'm more concerned, if you like, with how we take the community with us and how we involve mm-hmm. the community in the next stage. And what I'm wondering about is whether there is a need for another kit,
mm-hmm.
which contains, if you like, a summary of the outcomes of the envisaging exercise, and has in it a series of possibilities, if you like, in terms of concept plans which flow from that exercise. I'd be careful about three options, because again we're straying into dangerous ground, onto dangerous ground. I think we make some suggestions, but we also invite other suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there is the need for some sort of I hate the word kit, but then there's probably a better word, but something which summarizes where we've got to, and what we're going to do by way of the next phase, and inviting the community to be involved, put forward their ideas and suggestions on these concept plans.
Would there be too many publications then? Mikam?
Chairman, as I've previously mentioned, that it's about the document on the vision, mission, and the principles, and also detailed discussions on how the principles can be realized. I noticed from the PowerPoint presentation number 2, it mentioned like they will have to recommend the development visions and planning principles, which will include all the comments collected and also the existing principles, etc. I guess what we can do is to have a document. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's a kit or whatever, but it's a document which is not just summarizing thing, mm-hmm. but it will bring us forward so that we all know that, okay, everyone have participated, well, not everyone, but people who are interested had participated in various activities and come up with the vision for Kai Tech and, you know, the mission and also the principles. And not just the principles, but like how things can be done to achieve those principles. It's more technical and more details and also a lot of sort of information and data. So. And I agree that maybe we can involve the collaborators or people who are interested for more in-depth discussion and inputs. They can be involved to improve the document. And I think then it will be a more solid document to move forward to the outline concept plans. And I've said many times about outline concept plans. I understand from what Iris said, it will only be like emphasis will be different. Because the site is so huge, it's like over 200 hectares. It's 5 cultural districts. You know, we have to put it that way. So, I mean, you can have everything in there because it's just a big site. And as Iris said, from the different forums that we've attended, it seems like people do not really have a lot of differences of opinions. I think if we need to vote for something like a consensus, this is the place where it seems like people have a lot of consensus about. So, I mean, personally, I think you can have all this in the site because it's just a huge site. So I don't know how we can tackle it. I guess at the end of the day, I mean, from my participation of the Kai Tech Forum, it seems like people really want a bit of everything there. People don't just want single-mindedly one thing. I mean, even like the aviation people, they want other things as well. So I think we probably need to think more about how to tackle that. Is that the best way? Because I can imagine like people will come back and say, you know, we want a bit of all this. And how can we carry that forward?
Now, your proposal is to have that publication. Now, there will be a stage one report, right? So that, which is a public report, right, which will be circulated. So we both Nick and Mikam will have to think about whether you're proposing another publication or you're proposing an improvement of the stage one report. Yes?
Chairman, I think the difference is that I think the stage one will eventually, you can conclude with the vision and mission and some principles. And I think the difference is that my idea of another document is that how are you going to achieve those principles? What options are available in more sort of more technical and more detailed fashion?
But as a conclusion to stage one or?
No.
A separate thing?
Yes. As a leading document for stage two activities. So it comes from stage one, but it's more than just stage one.
Now, there will be stage one report, and there will be this technical report number 2, which is to become the substance of the OCPs. So your separate report, where does it come in?
That would be before the actual translation of the principles into spatial diagrams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually laying out, the facts and the details and the information and the technical stuff before you draw up sort of a spatial concept plan.
And Nick,
which I think Aris has to do anyway.
Yeah. And Nick, that is the kit you're talking about, right?
Yes, but I was seeing this as something relatively simple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we've got standalone documents in terms of the report mm-hmm. on stage one. We're going to have this technical
yeah.
study done in terms of the constraints on phase
mm-hmm.
two. I'm thinking of a relatively simple document, again, with a view to engaging the community.
Yeah.
I think few people in reality are going to read these very
mm-hmm.
thick,
yeah.
Detailed reports, and we have to find a more effective way, if you like, of communicating with the community, because we tend
yeah.
to think like professionals, which is fine, but
mm-hmm.
there's a huge audience out there that we need
okay.
to address.
So there's a stage one report and this technical report, and there should be something which says making sense of all this. Is that what you have in mind? Okay. The other planner, Roger.
I think that can be done under actually producing, when you produce TR2, at the same time, you can produce a kind of toolkit for easy
mm-hmm.
communication to the public. I mean, that can be done at that mm-hmm. stage. And then what Mikem suggests is all the background leading to this formulation of these options can be incorporated in this process. Okay,
yeah.
I mean, that should be the kind of approach that we can handle all this kind of issues.
Yes. Okay, so a little bit of understanding among us at this point. So again, stage one report and technical report number two, but the name itself suggests that it's technical report means 三人物件, right? and so with the technical report, or maybe the slightly ahead of it, there's this public kit document, right? How to make sense of it? Yes,
yeah.
Raymond.
So, Jim, I think we are talking about the same thing. The technical report is a bit technical. It's a necessary process that we have to go through before we can generate
yeah.
our like concept plan. That is to take from where
mm.
we get off in the stage one, all the comment, how we translate it in our concept plan. And it's part and partial of this sort of difficult technical report,
mm.
Which is not very sort of user-friendly. But before we go out to the public,
mm-hmm.
we have to translate that into more in a format that public can easily sort of
mm-hmm.
understand.
Mm, yeah.
And that will be sort of the, you can call it a stage 2.1 report, 2.1 document.
Yeah.
That is help to translate the information we get from stage one
mm-hmm.
before we
mm-hmm.
really give them some sort of
okay.
conceptual mm-hmm. like concept plan.
Yes.
And there's also one point, Mr. Chairman, as we have experienced in the Kaita Planning Forum, as well as we personally have experienced during the stage one public participation. I think we have more or less reached a stage that there are broad consensus on what we're going to happen in Kaita. And a lot of the public are really looking forward to seeing something a little bit more concrete, such that they can sort of cast the wheel on and move towards having a sort of a consensus plan.
Mm.
So in terms of all the technical details, we have to do it and have to tackle all that in the technical report, in a technical manner. But in terms of communicating with the public, we have to sort of translate these technical details in such a way that the public can understand. When we undertake the stage two public participation.
Yes, thank you. Mason.
I just want to sort of echo both Mikem and Roger and just now Raymond recommendation of the technical reports. And my observation is that during the public forum, the discussion is sort of in all different directions. And the technical attachment or annex to the TR1 maybe something to guide the public participation in the next stage. There are some qualifiers that the layman, the public, may not sort of thought about it when they make the recommendation. So I guess the toolkit, the technical paper, whatever you're going to name it, will be a good sort of piece of paper or details to guide the public participation in moving on to the second next stage. Thank you.
Okay. Now that's still the leaves us with the question of moving from the stage one report to this technical report or this stage two kit. And my previous suggestion was that we should encourage the collaborators to be active in this process. Okay. So if that's agreeable, I think we do have some consensus on the way ahead, which is first of all, complete the statement report, of which the Kai Tak Forum should be part of it, and try to incorporate some of Paul's views into it, because the statement report can also include the questions and the problems identified. Right. And then moving beyond that, we'll try to get the collaborative organizations to to respond to the statement report and to help us move beyond that in to generate the options for stage two. And when preparing the TR2, then there should be the very heavy emphasis on preparing at the same time a user-friendly public document to guide the public on how to make sense of stage two. Okay. So with that, if everybody's happy, we conclude agenda items 4 and 5.